We are glad to have you in God's house. I don't have any missionary letters to read tonight, so we're just going to start with prayer requests tonight, and we'll start with an altar of prayer. I do want to say, before we get into the prayer requests, I guess I do want to announce to the church, we made an announcement yesterday on the Facebook page about the cancellation for the youth rally. Didn't put as many details on Facebook, just because you never know with social media, but just so the church knows. We don't have COVID in our church, as far as I know. There are no COVID cases, but two local churches in our area that have had meetings recently have COVID in their church, COVID cases, one of which was going to be singing with their choir, and a preacher was also exposed that was going to be here this week. And so just for each of these things, we decided that it would be best just to cancel it for now. I don't really like the word cancel. I'd rather use the word postpone. And because I'd like to do it, just not at this time right now. It was hard to announce that, and I'm still kind of sad about it. But I believe it was the right thing to do to protect our church and surrounding churches, because God forbid if there was something, everybody getting together, I think that is the best thing that we could do for now. So I want you to pray, especially today, for our community and our county. Even Brother Ronnie was talking to me last night about the cases in the schools right now, and I do want to pray for the protection of our church. We'll do whatever we see necessary in the days to come, but I want to pray for God's supernatural protection, because ultimately it's God who protects us. And so please pray for this. Any other requests tonight? Yes, Brother Jerry, we need to please pray for Afghanistan. Pray for the troops that have been sent over there. As far as I understand, there have been troops sent back and are still there, as far as I understand. Please pray for them. Please pray for the pastors and missionaries that are in Afghanistan. We don't realize that the news don't probably hit on that as much, but there are Christians and missionaries that churches just like ours support that literally believe they're going to die in the next few days, and they very well may. Many of them have. They're going door to door there, the Taliban. And Christians aren't the only ones they're killing, but they do have a special place to kill Christians. So please pray for Afghanistan. Yes, please pray for Haiti with their natural disasters that have hit there recently, one after another. From what, just talking with Sister Betty, pray for Brother Sammy tonight. Pray for Brother Tweed, he's not feeling well tonight. That's what he texted and told me, so pray for him that everything's okay there. Yes, please pray for Aaliyah. How old is Aaliyah again? Yeah. Young lady with COVID. Yes, please pray for Joe Allen. He's in the ICU, I believe. Pray for Gary Burnham. They're related by marriage to Tim Langley and Sister Mindy Langley. The grandparents, and he is, as far as I know, still in the ICU from COVID. So please pray for Gary Burnham. Anything else? Please pray for this family. Please pray for our nursing homes and our elders that are there. for the families like Brother Jeff, not able to visit their loved ones and parents and when they're separated. I asked the church to pray. I had a special opportunity Saturday. Brother James Ryans invited me to the American Legion. They had a breakfast and to preach. And so we got to preach for a few minutes to some veterans. Many of them were probably saved, but there were several that probably weren't. And there were Mormons there that morning. I don't know why exactly, but there were six Mormons there. And God gave us the privilege to preach the gospel. And some of them talked to me after, and some of them, they didn't want to talk to me after. But some of them told us, they asked for the address of the church. And just so you know, they may be here on a Wednesday night sometime. I don't know that they will come, but I'm praying that they do. I'd love, and they can sit right on the front row. They sit with me. They sit wherever they want. I'll be happy to have them. But please pray for their souls. There were six of them, young people, very dedicated, more dedicated than we are, but they're dedicated to something that's just not the truth. And it's very sad. It's unfortunate for them because they believe it, but if they would only know the true gospel. And that's been on my heart. Please pray for these young men and women that they would come and they would hear the gospel. Anything else? Unspoken request? Anything else? If you can, if you're able, would you meet us down here at the altar tonight? And let's pray for a few minutes. Would you grab your red church hymnal with me tonight? And we're going to attempt page number 329. And I did say attempt, so don't you hold me to it. Page number 329. And if you would you stand? We'll sing Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises of God my Savior and Christ my King, the Word of God. Verse number 1. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Verse number 3. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. We'll get the last line by the end of it. Verse number 5. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God. Amen. You sing the last line better than I do. You can be seated tonight. I appreciate you singing. Is there anybody that has a song on your heart? You better make yourself known tonight. Anybody at all? Sister Michelle, you don't have a song on you, do you? I appreciate it. Would you turn with me in your Bibles while she's coming to the book of Luke? The book of Luke, chapter number 7. Luke, chapter number 7. You pray for her. Thank you, Sister Michelle.
The preacher got up, said, "Stand to your feet. We'll start with prayer. If you have a need, let it be known, church, let it be heard. 'Cause we're all a family and you're not alone." And that's when he saw her in the back of the church. The silence and sadness cried out the hurt, but the kind shepherd knew just what to say. "Now I need to know before we pray an unspoken request. Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life? Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear, for our God can hear an unspoken request. Child, have no fear, for our God can hear unspoken request."
I love that song, Unspoken Request. Luke chapter number 7, and I believe it was at the McCameys that wrote that song, one of them that wrote that. It's a beautiful song. Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 1. I don't know how long we'll preach tonight. We'll just preach what God's got on our heart, and we'll preach, and when we're done, we'll be done. Luke chapter number 7. I want to begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read down through the end of the chapter to verse number 50. I'm just kidding. We're going to read to verse number 10. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 1. Begin reading in verse number 1. "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this." Notice that. "He was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, 'Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it.' When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, 'I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. I want to preach out of mainly verse number 6 tonight. Verse number 6, at the end of the verse, notice these words, "For I am not worthy." I want to preach on that thought, "I am not worthy." I don't intend to preach long tonight, just to be honest. The Lord intends on us preaching short, we'll see. But I want to preach on this thought, "I am not worthy." Would you pray with us one more time? Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be found in your house. God, I thank you for your people that have gathered here. Lord, I pray that something I would say today from your word would be an encouragement to them. God, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I pray that you'd keep us safe. Lord, I pray that you'd help our church to endure. Lord, I pray that you'd help our church to grow, not just in number, but spiritually. Help us to grow in the Word of God. Help us to grow in maturity. Help us to grow in strength. God, I pray, Lord, that you would enlighten us tonight, encourage us, and chastise us if we need it. We'll be careful to praise you and thank you and glorify you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach on this thought, "I am not worthy." Friend, I believe tonight, what really just reading and studying this week, I guess the thought that's been on my heart is, God, help me to make sure that I, as a Christian, wrap my mind around and wrap my heart around and wrap my life around this very statement that the centurion said in verse number 6. And that's my burden tonight in the message is I pray, my prayer is that Emory Heights Baptist Church, that we would make sure that our lives and our hearts and our minds surround the statement, "I am not worthy." I believe tonight that if we as a church could get a hold of this statement and truly believe it in our lives, I believe that we could see a change in our churches for the better, a change in our ministry, and a change in our walks with Christ. If we would realize the very fact that we are not worthy. Friend, I think there are many phrases, many truths in the Christian life that we all know and we all admit and we all confess to be true, but I think that we really don't fully grasp 100% the meanings of those great truths. For example, every Christian here tonight knows and proclaims the truth that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? There's not a person here that would deny that. In fact, there's not a soul on earth that would deny that. I believe every single man, woman, boy, or girl, saved or not, would agree with that truth, that all have sinned, that everybody's done bad. It's somewhere along the way. But friend, there's something about it. When you fully understand the truth that you are a sinner, that changes something in your heart. It's one thing to say, "Yeah, everybody sins. Yes, I sin." But when you really see what your sin is and what it means to God, and you really say, "I am a sinner," that will change some things in your life. I was listening to a video of a man witnessing on the streets, and he was witnessing to a man, and he was talking to him about sin, and the man said, "Yes, we're all sinners." And he said, he went down the Ten Commandments. He said, "Have you ever lied?" "Yes." "Have you ever stolen?" "Yes." And he went down there through the list, and he was very bold. He was kind, but he was bold about pointing out this man's sin. And he told him, point blank, "You are a sinner." And he said, "You're telling me that you are a lying, fornicating thief by all the things you've just said." And this man said, "Well, I wouldn't say that." And he said, "You've admitted to these things." And at the end of that witnessing, he said, "I am a sinner." And he said it a whole lot differently than at the beginning of that video. And friend, that began to make me think, I mean, that's a truth that everybody admits to. But it's not until you really get your mind around the truth that you're a sinner, that you'll need Christ. And this, I think, "I am not worthy," is one of those things. Friend, I think that we all say as Christians, "Well, I'm not worthy of praise. I'm not worthy of glory. I'm not worthy of salvation." Friend, I think we say that, but at the same time, do we really understand what that really means, that I am not worthy. Do we really have that attitude? We live in the age of entitlement. We live in an America that was founded upon inalienable rights. And I believe we do have inalienable rights that are given to us by God, and man cannot violate those rights. But our rights have turned into entitlement. And friend, let me say this. We have rights that man cannot take away from us that are given by God, but there is nothing that we're entitled to on God's behalf. Does that make sense? Man does not have the privilege to take your life. That's not up to man. But God can. That's not something that's your right. You can't tell God your rights. He's God. There is nothing. We live in an age of entitlement. We live in an age where every man and woman thinks themselves worthy of more than what the world gives them. But friend, I've got news for you. We are not worthy of any blessing or any good thing that comes from the Lord today. I know these are simple things, but I want you to think about them. We are not worthy of anything. We are not worthy of the breath that God fills our lungs with. We're not worthy with the food that God puts on our tables. We're not worthy of the water in our fridge. We're not worthy of the roof above our heads. We are not worthy of the clothes upon our back and the shoes upon our feet. We're not worthy of padded pews and suits tonight. We're not worthy of anything that we have tonight. And we ought to be very careful not to think ourselves worthy. We're not worthy of God's grace. We're not worthy of God's mercy. We are not worthy of God's salvation. We are not worthy of God's own Son. We are not worthy of God's riches. We are not worthy of God's goodness that has been shown to us beyond all comprehension and understanding. I want you to know tonight and think about the fact that we're not worthy of anything that God's given us. We are not worthy. I think it's easy as Christians to begin to live as if we are. We get saved, we get in church, we serve. And it's almost like if you get into that enough, you'll think yourselves like maybe you are. You're making God saving you worth it for Him. Well, I'm trying to, God save me, so I'm making it worth His while. Friend, that's not how that works. Friend, a lifetime of 100% service to Christ is not a drop of water in the ocean compared to what God has done for us. A lifetime of presenting your body as a living sacrifice does not fulfill anything that God's given us. It doesn't make us 1% worthier of anything He's done for us. Do you realize that if God would have let us go to hell for half of eternity and then would have let us go to heaven after spending half of eternity in hell, that would have been more grace than we would ever be worthy of. But He didn't do that. You realize that if God would have saved us from hell but not allowed us into heaven, you realize if God would have made some type of neutral place that's not heaven or hell, and He would have made us spend all eternity in that dull place, that would have been more grace than we could ever deserve. But God didn't do that either. Friend, you realize that God could have made us at least servants. He could have made us like unto the angels, and we could have been serving Christ and trying to repay Him for all of eternity. And that would have been more grace than we ever could have deserved, because at our very best, we only deserve an eternity of infinite judgment in the lake of fire under the white holy wrath of God. There's nothing more that we deserve. But friend, God didn't just put us in hell for half of eternity. God didn't just put us in a neutral place. God didn't just make us servants like the angels. But God has went above and beyond and has made us children by the cross of Christ. He has made us joint heirs. He has made us the bride of Christ. He has made us friends of God. It's one thing to take your enemy and forgive them. It's another thing to take your enemy and give them everything that you've got. If He would have just forgiven us, that would have been more. But He's not just forgiven us, He's given us so much. He not only paid the price for your sin and saved us from our great sin debt, but he has now made accessible to all of us the riches of God by the blood of Christ and has given us every single gift of the Spirit of God. He's went above and beyond. At the very least, we're not worthy of that. But God's not just done the very least. God is the God of the most. We're not worthy. And shame on us. And woe unto us if we ever for one millisecond think ourselves worthy of God's blessings. Shame on us if we ever think that God had to save us. God didn't have to save me. God didn't have to save you. I don't believe in Calvinism. I don't believe that God chose only a few. But let me say this, if God chose not to save me, that wouldn't have been unfair because God didn't have to. I deserved hell, but God did. God didn't have to. Shame on us if we think God has to answer our prayers. God doesn't have to. He does. But sometimes God does say no. And shame on us if we think God has to bless our services because he doesn't. How many times do we come to God entitled, God, where were you? What did you do? Why did you leave me here? Why didn't you bless me with this? Why didn't you let them be healed? Why didn't you let this turn out this way? Friend, we're not worthy anyway. God's sovereign. God knows best, but we're not worthy. God owes us nothing. We owe him everything. We're not worthy. Here we have a man tonight that understood that. You know what the Jews said? This was a centurion. He was a Roman soldier. He had 100 men under him. A centurion, century, 100. He had 100 men under him. And this centurion had a servant. The servant was sick. He was going to be dying. He was sick unto death. And this man, although he was a Roman, was clearly a God-fearing man. He had helped the Jews build a synagogue for the Jews. And he heard about Christ. Look there in verse number 4. The elders of the Jews came to Christ. They beseeched him to heal his servant. When they came to him, they besought him instantly, immediately, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. They said, Jesus, if there's ever anybody for you to heal, it's this guy because he's worthy. He's done a lot for us. He's a good man. He's a godly man. He's a God-fearing man. He's given of his own money, and he's helped us. He's worthy. And so Jesus came with them, but what I love is in verse number 7, verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. He says it again. I am not worthy. I want you to think about that. It does not matter how good or how worthy other people think or say you are. You know your heart, and you know the depths of your wicked flesh. You know the thoughts that you've had that nobody else has seen. You know the things that you've done that only you and the devil remember. You know that you aren't worthy. I guess what I'm getting at is this. We ought to make sure we tell God that. Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, the people around me love me. The people around me think that I'm good and they encourage me. But God, I'm not worthy. If we as a church could say, God, we're not worthy. You know, that's what God's looking for. That's the attitude God's looking for. In Psalms chapter number 8 and verse 4, the psalmist prayed with that attitude. He said, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Who am I? What am I? What have I done? It's not what I've done, it's what you've done. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I've not done anything worthy of your coming and being with me. In Psalms 115 and verse 1, the psalmist sang, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. We should pray that. When we come into God's house, we should come in with that attitude every day. Not unto us, Lord. Not unto me, but to you, glory and honor and mercy for thy truth's sake. This is what God wants. Let me give you this and we'll be done. Look in Luke in chapter number 6, the chapter before this. This was very fitting that this account happened right here. Because in the chapter before this, we read of some of the great sermons that Christ preached, and one of them was the Beatitudes. Part of the Sermon on the Mount, and in the Beatitudes, chapter 6, verse 20, says that Christ lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." You say, what does this have to do? In the chapter before this, Christ preached a message on the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are the principles by which Christians should live. In this sermon, Christ was setting up a picture of what it would look like to be a Christian. He was showing them that being a Christian was different than anything that the world looked at. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 gives us the same sermon, but it gives us some more things that aren't included in Luke. But this is the same sermon that was preached before the centurion came to Jesus. Matthew chapter number 5. I want you to look in verse number 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying..." Now this is about the same thing that Luke said, but it's a little more detail, a little more points. You know, this sermon had more points in it here. Matthew must have been paying attention better, I don't know. But in verse number 3, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now, like I said, these are the principles by which Christians would live. In the world today, the way up is up, but in the kingdom of God, the way up is down. We do things different than what the world operates out of pride, but a Christian is to operate out of humility. The world is all about being filled with pleasure, but the Christian ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The world is all about laughter and entertainment. The Christian ought to mourn and to weep. That's not what the world tells us. What he's saying is, my kingdom is different. And blessed are ye, happy are ye. Brother Ronnie taught on this several weeks and months ago on the Beatitudes. Blessed are, happy are ye if you do these things. And notice verse number 3, the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? Does that mean happy are you if you're poor? My grandmother, she came to know Christ. But before she knew Christ, she had a knowledge of the Bible, my mom's mom. But she didn't understand it all the way. And my mom would come to her as a child and say, what do I have to, I know I need to be saved, what do I do? And she showed her that verse, it's hard, easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than the rich man. And she said, all you got to do is be poor, and we're poor plenty, so you're okay. That was her explanation, and that's not what that means. He's not saying blessed are the poor physically, materially, financially, but blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? When you're poor, you cannot be independent. When you're poor, you're dependent on somebody else to help you in some way. You're helpless when struggles and trials come, you have no anchor financially. He's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you that depend upon God in your spirit. The world says, I don't need God. I'm rich in spirit. I'm independent of God. In the Tower of Babel in Genesis 6, they said, let us build us a tower that its top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. That's rich in spirit. We don't need God. We have ourselves. God says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know what that is? Somebody that says, God, I am not worthy. Not worthy one bit. God, I'm not strong. God, I'm not good. God, I'm not pure. God, I don't have it together. God, I am 100% depending upon you. I am depending upon your grace and your mercy. You do not owe me anything. I am the one indebted to you. Poor in spirit, I'm not worthy. Verse number 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's all the same principles. It's applied differently. Happy are you if you mourn for your sin. God, I'm not worthy because of how wicked I am. Have you ever thought about how wicked you are? Ask God to show you how wicked you are. And it'll feel like a dagger cut right through your heart. We should pray, God, reveal my sins to me. That's a scary prayer sometimes, because there's a lot of sins we do out of ignorance we don't think about. And we've got to pray, God, deal with me. If you'll show me, I'll get rid of it. That's a rough thing. And God's done plenty of trimming on me, and he's still working on me. Blessed are they that mourn. God, I'm not worthy. I mourn over my sin. It's only then they can be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that humble themselves. Once again, I am not worthy. Blessed are they which do hunger. All this, it goes down. What this man did, right after he preached this, this man exemplified and really wrapped up what Christ was saying. This man came and he was poor in spirit. He was mourning. He was had the attitude of weeping, and he had the attitude of hungering and thirsting and meekness. God, I'm not worthy. And you know what happened? And he said, God, you don't even have to come under my roof. I'm not worthy that you'd come here. But if you just say the word, I know that you're God. I know that it'll happen. And Jesus turned around and said, I have not found so great faith in all of Israel. Why? That's the Beatitudes being lived out. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That promise was fulfilled for him. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That was fulfilled for him. Blessed are they the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That was fulfilled for him. All of these things can be fulfilled for us, if not in this life, in the next life, if we'll live by this. But I think it can be greatly summed up, a majority of this, by the phrase, I am not worthy. I hope that our church would adopt this attitude 100%, that we would cry out to God, not just here, but at our homes, in the morning, at night. God, we are not worthy of your grace, but we plead the grace and the mercy of God, not because we're worthy, but because you're so good. When you realize that you're not worthy and you announce that and pronounce that, it makes the goodness of God that much gooder. When you realize just how unworthy you are. I'm reminded, one of my favorite verses is Revelation 4:11. For thou, O Lord, he says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He said, I'm not worthy, but you're worthy. I pray we'd adopt that tonight. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want to give you an opportunity to pray. And I hope you pray this tonight. I'm not worthy. God, you don't have to be gracious to me. You don't have to show me mercy. You don't have to do this. I'm not worthy. But I pray and I plead your mercy that you would. I'm depending on you. Can we as a church pray that during these times, God would give us this reality. And every time we come here, which might be our last time, we'd say, God, we're not worthy. So these altars are open tonight. You come if you need to while we pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege in your house tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd touch, Lord, the hearts that are here. God, thank you for their love for you. Lord, thank you for your love for us. God, there's nothing we could have done to earn it or deserve it, to pay for it. Lord, you love us unconditionally, but you love us really without reason. Lord, there is no reason for it other than you're just God. That's all I know is you're God, and you do it because you're God. Lord, we're not worthy, but we do plead your mercy. God, that you'd help our church. Lord, that you'd touch our community. Lord, we plead your mercy that you would convict souls and bless our efforts. Lord, thank you for loving us unconditionally. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to sing tonight. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to ruin a good service again, all right? But I do think about this. I'll read this verse. We'll be done tonight. Romans, it just came to me. I believe it's in Romans chapter number 4, I believe. But he says that he saved us, that his salvation was free. I'm going to try and find it. I believe it's chapter number 5. And I may be wrong. I may not be able to find it, but I know he says in chapter 5 and verse number 16, he talks about it being a free gift. And verse number 18, he talks about a free gift. But, and I'll quote you the verse, I don't remember where it's at. But he says that we are justified freely by his grace. And I love that word, freely, because it doesn't just mean free in the sense that we think of it, without charge. But freely also means without cause. We are justified not only freely, yes, as in we didn't have to pay for it, but we're justified freely as in there's no explainable reason why that we're justified. God doesn't have to. He loved us without cause. He loved us freely. I thank God for that. Is there anything that needs to be said tonight before we dismiss? I do have two requests I want to make known, but is there anything need to be said tonight? I want to ask the church to please pray for Sister Faye in the upcoming week. She's here tonight. I'm so glad to see her here, but she's going to be undergoing radiation, and she probably won't get to be here while she's undergoing that, I suppose, just due to the treatments. And I want to ask that we please pray for her and remember her. God would help her and keep her safe, give her strength. I want the church to pray for Sherilyn Frost. I was weary to announce it because I don't know that I have the details exactly right, but I do know she's undergoing surgery on the 1st. And if I understand this correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, Madison, she has an area, as far as I understand, a tumor, at least a mass. I don't know the seriousness of it, but I know it has to be removed. And I'll find out more information so I can announce that in better detail, but I do know she's having surgery on the 1st. So I ask you to please pray for Sister Sherilyn Frost, that God would help her, and she needs our prayers. Are there anything else before we dismiss? All right. Brother Ronnie, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?